Good evening. I spent a very enjoyable afternoon. The first part of the afternoon, Norma explained to me the order of the worship service here at Southside. And what is the chorus of a song and what is the verse. I took a nap trying to watch the Texans. It was a good afternoon. And Brother Zavala just did me a great favor. I'm not the only one. Thank you, brother. It's good to see you. I love you people. You always treat me with dignity and help me, and even when we make mistakes, you tolerate and help, and we appreciate that so very much. Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12 is a wonderful book on a wonderful chapter on attitudes. Talks about the attitude we ought to have toward God, attitude we ought to have toward one another, and the attitude toward those who are enemies even. I just want to read a part of it, beginning at verse 4. For as we have many members, the one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, for the prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one toward another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. I'm interested in one little particular phrase he uses here. Let love be without dissimulation. That simple command touches every area of life, because love touches every area of our lives. It touches the home, it touches the family, it touches our work, it touches everything we do. This passage says, let love be without dissimulation in the King James. New King James says, let love be without hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy in the American Standard. Let love be sincere in the 20th century. Your love must be genuine in good speech translation. Let love be unveined in Broadus translation. Hypocrisy is fraudulent. It's playing a part. The Greeks put on a mask. They called it hypocrite. What you saw was not really what it was. So I want to talk a bit about hypocritical love. Love is a valuable thing, an absolutely invaluable thing. It's wonderful. It reaches every area of our lives. And it's not any shock to anybody who's thinking clearly that the devil would take love and make it fraudulent, that he'd take love and make it fraud. So I want to talk about that for a few minutes. First of all, let me say to you that we can say love. We can say, I love you, and not mean it. When we say you love God, give all your attention to other interests, we're saying it, but we don't really mean it. Do you say, I love you, God? In John 12, verse 25, Jesus said, he that loveth life, he shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. We can't love the life here with any degree of diligence, because it won't stand us in good stead. We'll lose out eventually. Mark 12, Bubba mentioned this morning, the young man that came to Jesus and was talking with him and asking him what is the greatest commandment. Jesus gave it to him. Then the young man answered this wise. He said, and to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love his neighbor himself is more than whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. This is love without duplicity. This is love without fraud. In Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira made a statement. They said, I love the Lord, but they didn't act like it, did they? You can say it and not mean it. When we say, I love you to our brethren and treat them with contempt, it's not genuine love. 1 John has a lot to say about brotherly love in chapter 4 in verses 20 and 21. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. Man, what a statement. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from God, that he that loveth God loveth his brother also. We need to be careful how we treat one another. We need to be careful that we don't treat one another poorly. It's hard to hide your affection. Do you ever ignore anybody? You need to be careful about that. You ever say something about somebody? You need to be careful. We just need to watch. Love can be hypocritical. You say, I love my brother in Christ. If you don't treat him well, you don't love him. That's what the passage says. We can say it and not mean it. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. We need to care for one another. This is a special group of people, God's Christians. We have something that transcends eternity, transcends time and lands in eternity. We have something very special in this life. We need to guard it. We need to be careful about it, carefully considering one another. I've been amused at the cell phone activities. I got a little deal at the end of the week that says how many hours you spent on the cell phone. You get that? How many hours do you spend in prayer? How much in Bible study? It doesn't come close. And you need to spend time praying for one another. I ran across a fellow one time. He came to me and he said, I just don't like brother such and such. I said, well, you need to get acquainted with him. He said, well, I don't want to. I said, then you don't love your brother. He went and got acquainted with him, and they became good friends. We can get past those difficulties if we try. We have to be open with one another, not fraudulent. This love is not hypocritical. God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And could I go a step further than that? When we say, I love you, to our enemies and treat them poorly, we feign our love for them. That's hard, loving your enemy. Somebody says something bad about you or somebody criticizes you, it's hard to say, I love you, brother. It just doesn't come easily. But the Scripture teaches that it must be done. We need to do that. Matthew 5:43-45. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. The last part of that says something. God's reign is not reserved for just the faithful people. He reigns it on those that curse him. He reigns it on those that do evil and all kinds of murderings and ungodly activities of various sorts. He lets his reign come, his mercy. We must do the same. That's the point of the illustration. We must be the same way about our enemies. That's been hard for me. If you, I want to react. I had a fellow write me one time about something I'd said in an article I'd written, and he said, I know what you said, but I know what you believe. If I ever wanted to punch a guy in the face, it was then. But I stopped, and I thought of this passage, love your enemies. And I stopped and prayed for him. I don't know it did any good, but it sure made me feel better. That gets rid of a lot of hatred, gets rid of a lot of disdain. Love is not fraudulent. This is admittedly one of the most difficult of all commandments, but it's one of the very essential ones. We remember that. Luke 6 and verses 27 through 30, I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer him the other also. He that take away thy cloak, forbid him not to take thy coat also. That's hard. That's really hard. Listen to what he says. Bless them that curse you. You having trouble with that? You can say, I love you, and not mean it. You can say to your enemies, I love you, and not mean it. So we need to be very careful. He says, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which continually and despitefully use you. That's hard to do, but you can do it. It's a sign, listen to me, it's a sign of spiritual maturity in the life of a man who can pray for his enemies. If you can do that, you are spiritually mature. If you're not, you need to get mature and grow up, because that's what we do. Yes, we can say, I love you, and not mean it. We can also mean it and not say it. We can also mean it and not say it. When we serve only when there's little or no opposition, we're withholding their love. In Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace upon the earth. I am not come to send peace. I am come to set a man at variance with his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be theirs of his own household. We say, I love you. We need to say it, not just think it. Not enough just to read about it, not just study it. But it becomes fraudulent when it's not expressed. He said, say it, if you mean it. 1 Peter 2, verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation or manner of life honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil, you evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. If you have trouble with somebody in this church, I want to make you a challenge. Find a little gift or find a little card and just write these words on the card. Listen to me. Just write these words on the card. I appreciate you, brother. If he's your brother in Christ, you can say that, right? Don't love him and not say it. Go ahead and say you love him. If we don't do that, we're not being the kind of people we ought to be. Little things can make a big difference. Just write a little note. Or pick up the phone. Call him and say, you sure led a good prayer. Do it. If you love him. When we don't give answer for our faith, we show a lack of love. Do we really love the truth? I get a kick out of all these little kids, mine. Little Papa D youngsters. They all come to me and say, Papa D. And I just love them to death. They reach out to you. Not hard to say I love you to them, is it? We need to say it to our enemies the same way, to our friends. When we're so pressured by the world that we succumb to its seductions, we don't have the love we ought to have. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You can't belong to the world and God at the same time. We are for him or we're against him, one or the other. That's hard. We need to say it. It's not enough just to believe it, but say it. The little children say to me, I love you, Papa D. It makes you want to hug them. You know, if you say to somebody, I love you, they may want to hug you. Do it. It works. If you have been the kind of person you ought to be today, You've already said something positive, something kind, something loving to somebody. It helps. It restores relationships. Well, you can say it and do nothing about it, too. Love requires more than just words. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and sheddeth up his bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You can say it and not do anything about it. You can hold it in your heart and not give anything. You can hold it in your heart and not be a part. You can hold it in your heart and not give approval of the good things that are done, participate in various things. You can hold it in your heart, watch while others give their funds. You can hold it in your heart. It doesn't do any good unless you speak it out. I love you is hard to say sometimes. If you love me, keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So we need to say it. We say it in a lot of different ways. One way you say you love God is by living right. One way you serve Jesus Christ, love Jesus Christ, is by saying to somebody, I serve Jesus Christ. He's my Lord. I serve the Lord. I'm interested in what he wants. Would you be interested in that? Can you talk to somebody about it? You say you love him. Do you love him enough to stand for him? Love him enough to care for him? The souls of the people that are lost around you? That's real love. And Hebrews chapter 12 says it's possible to forget the exhortation of respect to his children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when they're called on. You're going to have trouble because you're a Christian. It's a foregone conclusion. It's inevitable. It's unstoppable. But you stand for God and you say, I love God and I love his word. And that's the way it's going to be. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastisement, God dealeth with you sons. For whose son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Are we his son? Take the chastening. Make it grow. It's good for you. Well, let love be without dissimulation. It's a challenge that requires something of us. We must be aware of our total dependence upon God. If you say, I love God, you've got to give him all that you have. If you say you love God, you've got to give him your time. You've got to give your funds. You've got to give your heart, your soul, everything about you. When we become sufficient of ourselves, we often make our love for God take a back seat. We need to be careful that we don't become satisfied with our accomplishments on the earth, because they're passing. You know, we won't be here very long. Secondly, we must be about the business of learning if we truly love God. You can't say, I love the truth, and not study it. You can't say, I love the truth, and not use it in your life. You can't say, I love the truth, and not apply it to yourself as you apply it to other people. You can't say, I love the truth, if you don't apply it to your enemies. You can't say, I love the truth. The more you know about God, the more you love him. The more you love him, the more you'll be like him. The more you like him, be like him, the more difficulties you have with the world. The more you dislike the world, the more you look to heaven. The more you look to heaven, your love becomes sufficient. It's a great thing to serve God. Thirdly, distribute that love to others as we have opportunity. One of the great privileges of life is to present to others the love he has presented to us. Have you ever brought anybody to the Lord? That's true love. You love somebody enough to say to him, come with me and let me show you what the book says. Come to me and let's read it together. Come to me and let's pray. Come to me and let's talk about God a little bit. Come to me and let's talk about what God wants us to do. Come to me and let's talk about sin and degradation and filth and putridity. Come to me and let's talk about good things to erase that. He can have that. One of the great privileges is to present it to others because he loved us so much he wanted it presented. We love God. We love his word. We love the souls of others. If you do that together, it works out. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your being. The second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Let us live carefully with knowledge, but with full realization that there's more to it than a mere profession. Thank you for your time. Would you come to Jesus tonight? Do you love him? There are people in this audience that need to be baptized. I've talked with them. I've said something to them. I've said, tell me where I'm wrong. I've said, explain to me what I'm missing. They don't do that. We need to love one another to the extent that we'll obey, love God enough to the extent that we'll obey him, no matter if it's inconvenient, no matter if we have to give something up. So come, if you have faith in him, say how you love him. Repent of your sin. Confess your faith in Christ and be baptized. And if you're here and some of these things apply to you, they're intended to storm your will, make them work in your life. Go to somebody. Go to somebody you don't know and tell them you love them. We love one another here. That's one of the great evidences of faith of this church, is that we love one another. Let's don't quit. Let's do better than we've done in the past. It'll make things better for all of us. Would you come to Jesus? We're going to sing. We don't sing just to end of the sermon. We sing to try to get you to come. You love God? Come obey him while we stand and sing.